May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I know that some people think that slavery in the Greek and Roman world was not all that bad. Christians get that idea partly because many English Bibles, including the Pew Bibles at St. Mark's that drowned in the storm on the 5th of June, they use the word servant when they might strictly say slave. The word servant suggests that slavery was not too terrible. But the strong word slave is often used by the Christian apostles. Paul, in his letters, repeatedly describes himself as a slave of Christ. Peter says in that, just before the reading that Maria gave us, as slaves of God, live as free people. Yet do not use your freedom as a pretext for evil. And Jesus himself said, in the translation by a commentator on Matthew that I've been reading, you cannot give slave service to God and to mammon. No doubt the situation of slaves in the Roman Empire was quite varied. There must have been a range of experiences. Nevertheless, I'm not myself convinced that free people in the Roman Empire went into slavery if they couldn't support their family. What they did first, in my view, was to become clients of wealthy patrons. They would contribute by their presence and by their cheering to a crowd greeting the rich man when he appeared. It was quite burdensome. They had to be there at dawn because they didn't know when the grand man was going to come out of his door. They might wait for many hours until he did come out. They would accompany him down to the forum, the open place, the civic square, and they would, by their sheer numbers, give him glory. That was what the great man was seeking. Later, the clients would be back and they'd be given a handout of food or money. And indeed, a Roman poet, Juvenal, a satirist, made fun of the clients waiting for their handout. In his picture, the clients would have to wait for hours for their patron to appear and begin his parade down to the forum. Hours to hang around because of uncertainty, as I said, as to when the great man would appear. But they had brought their portable barbecues with them, ready to cook the meat when it was handed out to the clients. There may have been unpleasant features in being a client, but being a client was preferable to selling your family into slavery. Certainly the treatment of slaves in what became the United States of America is consistently portrayed as horrendous. The TV miniseries Roots of 1977 has recently been remade by a different team and shown on SBS television. The ancients may not have had the sharp cleavers to cut off half of a man's foot to make sure that he didn't run away. But the ancients did other terrible things, such as flogging slaves and breaking up families by selling the husband or the wife or a child to another slave owner. Today, in the sixth of our series, Two Ways to Live, we are going to focus our attention on the death of Jesus. And the five verses that Maria read from 1 Peter 2 are part of a much, much longer passage from 1 Peter that Matt preached on last term. Matt expounded Peter's advice to slaves, to wives, and to husbands in May. Our passage from 1 Peter 2 starts in the midst of the advice to slaves, and that's why I've carried on about slaves. Peter is talking about slaves being beaten. They should fear their masters. It is, Peter says, to their credit if, being aware of God, they endure pain while suffering unjustly. Christian slaves were called to endure when they do right and suffer for it. Why? Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you as Christian slaves should follow in his steps. And what was Christ's example? Verse 23 of 1 Peter 2. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. this passage might be advice to slaves, but fundamental Christian truths are being laid out here. Verse 24, Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, on the cross, so that free from sins, we might live for righteousness. Verse 25, you were going astray like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Peter is addressing himself to slaves in his exposition of the household code. But the truths are vital to all Christians, not just Christian slaves. And there are Christians forcibly enslaved in today's world. Isn't that what happened to the girls abducted from a school in northern Nigeria by Boko Haram? Last week, Ben mentioned other cases of persecution of Christians today in Sudan, in India, and other places. So Peter's message was written for slaves, but is applicable to us today. We are to entrust ourselves to the one, that is to God, who judges justly. We are to live for righteousness. And this is based on Christ having borne our sins in his body on the cross. That Sunday when Matt expounded 1 Peter 2:13 all the way through to 3:7 to us also had a reading from Isaiah 52 and 53. And today we have quotations or allusions to verses 4, 5, 6, 7 and 12 of Isaiah 53. So Peter quotes from or alludes to no fewer than 5 verses from Isaiah chapter 53. Peter's mind is saturated with the passage. St. Peter's mind is saturated with that passage that Peter read to us. For St. Peter, Christ fulfilled the precise words of Isaiah 53 and verse 9. He had done no violence, no sin, nor was there found any deceit in his mouth. What Christ was going to do is alluded to in other verses of Isaiah 53. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He has borne our infirmities. He bore the sin of many. By his bruises we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So 550 years before Jesus of Nazareth was born, the prophet Isaiah laid out in remarkable detail the suffering, the passion, that is, and the death of Jesus. Perhaps the verse in Isaiah chapter 53 that captures sin and atonement in the most penetrating way is that last verse I quoted, verse 6. We see here that we turn to our own way instead of following God's way. Yet the Lord has laid on the Messiah, the Christ, the iniquity of us all. God's grace to us in laying our sin on another, who is God's servant, according to Isaiah, on Jesus Christ, that laying our sin on another is the complete answer to sin. The single verse from the third chapter of 1 Peter that Maria read to us does sum up the significance of Christ's death. And Jesus is called Christ here. 1 Peter 3:18 says, Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you the reader, to God, or you the listener, to Peter's message. The single righteous person suffered and died for the people, all people, who are unrighteous. When I was at school, you were allowed to say twixt, with a little apostrophe thing before the T at the beginning. You were allowed to say twixt in a poem that you were writing or a song you were singing if the word between did not fit the rhythm of a poem or a song. I think people still say betwixt and between to indicate a situation where it is half and half, or half one thing and half another. I also grew up in an era when Christian choruses put Bible verses, verses from the Authorized Version of 1611, of course, to music. But the quotation ought to be exact. So when 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6 was put to music, the word for was kept at the beginning of the verse. You learnt the whole verse, for, and you kept it was kept there in the musical version. We read in the Authorized Version, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us all, for all. Paul has just written that God wills that all people should be saved. For, he goes on, there is one God and one mediator between God and men. I can no longer find an old hymn book or chorus book where I can check the words. Actually, there's a bush church on a property in the Armidale Parish where it'd be worth looking for a Golden Bells and seeing if it's there, but I don't have that any longer. Russell kindly looked up 8 hymn books for me, couldn't find this one, and it's not familiar to him. Well, the chorus went as follows, as far as I can remember. For there is one God and one mediator twixt God and men. For there is one God and one mediator, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for us all. That was repeated 3 times. Who gave himself a ransom for us all. Oh, what a wonderful Saviour. Probably Charlie could sing this. Is it familiar? No? Yes, okay. Thanks. The last bit, oh, what a wonderful Saviour, is an early 20th century conclusion that's not in Paul, though the beginning of Paul's letter to Titus does speak of the command of God our Saviour and Christ Jesus our Saviour. Why is Christ Jesus a Saviour? Because of his death and resurrection. Why is he a mediator? Because Christ gave himself as a ransom for us all. We began our service today by proclaiming that we will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for us. We sang that we were lost, but Jesus found the sheep that went astray, just what Isaiah said. We went on in our second hymn to survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, not just called Jesus, but acknowledged as the Prince of Glory. And what does this hymn from the 18th century say about the death of Jesus? Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. And when we conclude our service with the Servant King, let us see if we can follow the trajectory of the whole song. We only get a few lines at a time on the screen, don't we? But people whose churches do that, as a matter of course, and then suddenly have a photocopy in front of them, are amazed at how the progress of that song goes. The little booklet of family, this is actually Two Ways to Live, the one that Phil's been showing us because it fits in your pocket, but the one family devotion one, it's based on Two Ways to Live, has Jesus as a cross-like figure. It's actually the furthest back on that side. It's a cross-like figure standing on the world. It's not exactly a crucifix, and I can't imagine anything that Philip Jensen supervised having a crucifix as a symbol, but it is portraying the cross, isn't it? Jesus on the cross. And that's the death of Jesus Christ. And that is the Christ who died as a ransom for us all. Let us use the prayer for the family devotion on Jesus' death. Thank you, Lord God, that Jesus died on the cross in my place to take the consequences I deserve for my sin. Help me to trust Jesus and always remember what he has done for me